This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And now that we have, at least for the time being, warded off a grave threat to the Republic's economic health and political health, which was the Biden budget-busting Build Back Better bill, which we're not going to see again until it pops up again next year in some different form. But we still have every kind of foreign danger, with a true menace by China toward the independence of Taiwan, which is an ally of the United States, and even more directly, a massing of troops and military equipment and hardware, and apparently great determination to threaten the United States into complying to his will by Vladimir Putin on the border to Ukraine. And very few people know more about these threats and have a better and a deeper perspective about them than John Bolton, who has been both ambassador to the United Nations under President Bush and was a former assistant to the President for National Security Affairs under President Trump. He's also the author of the excellent best-selling book, I mean, truly a book I enjoyed reading, which is remarkable considering what it covered, which was a tough time in American history. The book is called The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. Ambassador Bolton, always an honor to speak to you.
Well, great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, first of all, how serious is the Putin threat right now? He is demanding that to avoid him attacking Ukraine, that the United States give some commitment that we won't try to bring Ukraine more into the Western orbit. Should we agree to that?
No, not at all. And I do think the threat is very severe, and not just to Ukraine, but to other former parts of the Soviet Union that have remained outside NATO since the collapse of the Soviet Union almost exactly 30 years ago. The principle on which Russia and the West agreed when the Warsaw Pact collapsed and the Soviet Union disintegrated was that each new nation would decide where it wanted to direct its foreign policy. If it wanted to be a member of NATO, it was up to them. If they didn't, that was up to them. And Russia has now effectively rejected that agreement and tried to say not just Ukraine, but none of the remaining former Soviet republics can join NATO or affiliate with it, and many other things. Just today in Moscow, there was it's an annual event, a gathering of Russian commanders with Putin, the defense minister, and the chairman of their joint chiefs of staff. A lot of very fiery rhetoric. Some would say laying the groundwork for a pretext to attack Ukraine. Obviously, we can't say definitively, but we can say that Russia is doing nothing to dial this crisis down.
If a full-scale invasion of some kind took place, would the Ukrainian military be in any position to resist?
No, I think it's pretty clear just the size of the forces, the capabilities the Russians have, they would prevail. What we are not in a position to do, which I wish I could say differently, but if we had been able to assist the Ukraine military more over the past several years, I think we would have been in a better position to deter a Russian attack to begin with. And that's the ideal outcome, not that we have hostilities, but that we prevent hostilities by making it clear to Moscow that the cost of sending any more troops across Ukraine's border would be far higher than Putin would be able to tolerate. I don't think we're in that point yet, and the threats of sanctions later that Biden and NATO have made, economic sanctions after an invasion, I'm very much afraid will not deter Putin if he's determined to go ahead.
What about the Polish situation, because having been to Poland, I try to follow it as much as possible, and they have been outspokenly resistant to Vladimir Putin and the re-emergence of a Russian empire. And obviously because Poles have suffered so much from that historically, but the is there concern, and is it legitimate concern, that if Ukraine is actually invaded and brought back in some form or another toward the Soviet orbit, that Poland might be the next target?
Well, I think the Poles are very correctly concerned that their strategic situation would be bad, even much worse after any Russian invasion of Ukraine. People should just look at a map, and you can see why the geography concerns them. But also very worried are the Baltic republics, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, other Eastern and Central European countries, Romania, Bulgaria, NATO members, and non-NATO members like Moldova. We said a long time ago, after World War II, we would not accept any more changes in the borders of Europe that were made through military force. And we did not live up to our commitment when the Russians seized the Crimea from Ukraine, when they invaded eastern Ukraine, where their forces are to this day. So, again, we've said things before we haven't followed through on. It's one reason why I'm very worried Putin's not going to be deterred this time either, and it's why many other former Soviet republics and former members of the Warsaw Pact are so worried that their colleagues and friends in the rest of Western Europe don't sense the same danger that they see.
Now, I know that there are many Ukrainian leaders right now who actually would like to become members of NATO. They're not members of NATO yet. Would that be admission of Ukraine into NATO? Would that be a provocation now, or would that be an appropriate reassurance and a deterrence to Putin?
Well, it would not be a provocation. NATO is a defensive alliance and has been throughout its history. George W. Bush actually proposed bringing Ukraine and Georgia into NATO in April of 2008 on an expedited basis. France and Germany resisted. 4 months later, the Russians invaded Georgia. And a few years after that, they invaded Ukraine. So the danger of not bringing countries into NATO, I think we've already seen. It's obviously a problem now. Ukraine is, in effect, already at war with Russia, and significant parts of Ukraine are under Russian occupation. We've never added a new member to NATO in those circumstances, and obviously the Europeans would be nervous about it. So there's a lot more we can do without full NATO membership at this point. I wish we had done more in the Trump administration. The hour is very late.
And in terms of the dreaded possibility that any kind of attack on Ukraine would be coordinated with some kind of Chinese response or thrust toward Taiwan, something Americans should worry about?
Yes, I don't think there's much doubt Russia and China are coordinating their various moves, whether it's a Chinese move against Taiwan, something in the South China Sea, against Vietnam, against India. Hard to say. The options are more with Russia and China at this point than the U.S. and its allies. And I think it's important to note here that one very important reason China and Russia are even more emboldened today than before was the Biden administration's catastrophic decision to withdraw from Afghanistan. A clear strategic mistake. It would have been a mistake if Trump had withdrawn. It was a mistake when Biden did it. Worse, the withdrawal itself was executed atrociously. But the fundamental point is that in Peking and Moscow, the leaders there saw this as a clear sign of American retreat and weakness. And that's very much in their calculus today.
Can you stay with us for a few minutes more, Ambassador Bolton?
Sure, I'd be delighted to.
Terrific, because I want to get to the fundamental question, which is so important. Why should all this matter to a typical American who's worried about inflation, who's worried about the pandemic? Why is this top of mind stuff? We'll be talking about that with Ambassador John Bolton coming up. Are you feeling old or tired? This is your immune system telling you your body has too much acid. Is your stomach upset? Acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you really like? Well, Balance 7 will change all of that by diluting the acid buildup in your body. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and click on the banner for Balance 7. Use the code MEDVED and get $15 off your order. Free shipping plus a free bottle of My Smooth Skin and a money-back guarantee. Just 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need from Balance 7. How much will the new tax on gasoline impact your commuting costs? How can a Trojan horse income tax effort be inserted into a property tax relief proposal? And is your local school prioritizing critical race theory over teaching math and reading? Well, Washington Policy Center will keep you informed on everything you need to know about state policy. At WashingtonPolicy.org, you can subscribe to WPC's Free Friday newsletter and get the information and analysis you need to stay on top of what's happening in our state. Go to WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 2 decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never...
The great song by George M. Cohan, The Grand Old Flag, performed by James Cagney. In a film of the 1940s, Yankee Doodle Dandy, great, great film. And the song originally came out in time for Washington's birthday in 1906. at a time when American patriotism and self-confidence and love for that grand old flag was at a height under President Theodore Roosevelt. And Theodore Roosevelt became an American hero before he entered the presidency. And he did so with his audacious move to quit his job as Assistant Secretary of the Navy and to insist on actually going to the front and fighting in the Spanish-American War. He had organized a regiment with Leonard Wood called the Rough Riders, and there's a good summary about Roosevelt's approach and what he was about and what his aims were that was written by Lawrence Clark Powell, a great historian at UCLA, who writes, seen from today's viewpoint of mechanized and missile warfare, the idea of a band of horsemen sweeping through the Cuban jungles is preposterously romantic. Roosevelt had no inhibiting restraints. With all the fervor of a crusader of the Middle Ages, sworn to liberate Jerusalem from the infidels, he set about to drive the Spaniard from the New World. He was fanatically imperialistic, bloodthirsty, and righteous. And one might also add fearless and foolhardy. He went to war with 12 specially made spectacles, knowing that they had to be sewed into different parts of his uniform because without his spectacles, he could barely see. And there were other problems. Most of the mounts, most of the horses for the Rough Riders never made it to Cuba. They barely made it to Cuba. There were all kinds, even though it was only 90 miles away from Florida. They trained in Texas, and they did a lot of riding in Texas, and TR enjoyed it a great deal. But by the time they finally got on boats to go to Cuba, there were only a few of the horses that made it with them. Roosevelt had taken two horses for himself, one of which never made it, the other of which was actually dumped out and had to swim to shore. That was his mount, Texas. So as commander of the regiment on the ground, what was supposed to be a mounted infantry regiment, he was the only one with a horse, which of course made him an incredible target. The Rough Riders were aided by the 1st Cavalry and by black troops of the 10th Cavalry, and none of them had horses except for TR. And they were advancing up a range of hills behind the Cuban city of Santiago, where the Spanish were heavily dug in, where they had most of their forces. It was the battle that would decide this war. And Roosevelt was waiting for his orders to charge up the hill to lead his men. And as he wrote, and it's typical of his writing, all men who feel any power of joy in battle know what it is like when the wolf rises in the heart. And he was waiting for other officers to help lead the charge. They didn't make it to the front, and he decided to go up himself. He got on his horse, Texas, and he led his Rough Riders forward. There were other troops that were waiting behind them, but he told the Rough Riders to follow him. And he said to another officer, "If you don't wish to go forward, please let my men pass." So he got on his horse. He started waving his hat over his head, which he loved to do. And he spurred his horse and started up the hillside. His spectacles fell off almost right away, and he somehow managed to replace them as he rode. As historians have observed, it truly is a miracle. It is unthinkable that he wasn't seriously wounded or killed. There were men who were killed all around him. He described in his own, Lawrence Clark Powell says the fact that he wasn't killed was an open miracle. He said Roosevelt gallantly led the famous charge at the Battle of San Juan Hill. which preceded the surrender of Santiago. It is a miracle he was not killed. Well, yes, it was. And he also continued his advance. They took Kettle Hill, which was the first Spanish position, and just overwhelmed it. And I think they were so surprised that the people kept running and running up the hill. And this crazy officer in the lead waving his hat, replacing his spectacles. And then he got off his mount and on foot continued ahead by himself with only five men behind him. He had forgotten to give the order for the others to follow him. He did, and they prevailed. And it was an amazing moment. Frederick Remington, the great Western artist, did a painting trying to imagine the totally foolhardy, reckless gallantry of Theodore Roosevelt leading his men on horseback in the face of Spanish rifles and artillery and more, and somehow avoiding injury or death, even though he was nicked at one point at around the elbow by a passing bullet. He believed he deserved the Medal of Honor, and he got it long after his death. There were political reasons why he wasn't given it, but he did tell a friend that, "I do not want to be vain, but I do not think that anyone else could have handled this regiment quite as I have handled it." And people in the regiment said, "Yeah, that's true. He's right." One of his men said, "We were drawn to him. We'd have gone to hell with him." Instead, they went to Santiago. He always referred to this as his crowded hour, as the great day of my life. And a friend wrote to his wife, Edith, at home with their six children, "No hunting trip so far has ever equaled it in Theodore's eyes." So said a Rough Rider. He was just reveling in victory and gore. And there was plenty of gore. But all of this made him a national hero. This compelling figure of this Harvard intellectual who was also a cowboy, who was now a war hero and would soon become governor of the state of New York. And then 2 years later, President of the United States. How did that happen? We'll continue the story in this special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy.
You're listening to a special history program here on the Michael Medved Show. Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Officials in Shelby County, Tennessee have voted to reinstate ousted State House member Justin Pearson. He was reappointed to the seat that he was thrown out of last week after he took part in a protest against gun violence on the House floor. Pearson and fellow Democratic Representative Justin Jones were expelled by the House GOP majority. South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott is forming an exploratory committee for a possible 2024 run for the White House. Made that announcement via video this morning.
When I fought back against their liberal agenda, they called me a prop because I disrupt their narrative. I threaten their control. They know the truth of my life disproves their lies.
Scott's been traveling the country on his Faith in America tour. And inflation is slowing down in the U.S. The latest Consumer Price Index report from the Labor Department says inflation slowed to 5% in March, down from February's 6%. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. It is called Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy. And during the brief Spanish-American War, it was referred to by Secretary of State John Hay as a splendid little war. Roosevelt actually played the crucial role in both of the decisive victories. When it came to the naval battle of Manila Bay, he had taken the initiative while his boss, the Secretary of the Navy, was away to dispatch the American Navy and to be prepared at a moment's notice to go ahead and seize the entire Spanish fleet. He had done that in Washington. Then he had quit his job in the administration, rushed to the front, and with no military experience, participated in the most decisive land battle of the war. In that battle, which is known as the Battle of San Juan Hill, it was actually Kettle Hill that he attacked first. In that battle of his regiment, he was commanding 490 men. 100 of them were killed or wounded. Amazingly, miraculously, Roosevelt was not among them. Even though he was riding at the front of the troops, waving his hat, the only one on horseback. He came home, and before he even set foot back on American soil, people had started talking about his candidacy for governor of New York. Now, one of the reasons for that was there was an incumbent governor in New York named Frank S. Black, who was in a great deal of trouble. He had been elected just 2 years before, but he had a little bit of a problem with the Erie Canal. One of his appointees to the Erie Canal Commission had stolen or had inappropriately spent $1 million, which in today's money is $10-20 million. It's a lot of money. So the Republicans were looking for some candidate, and they were very queasy about Roosevelt. The boss of New York, the Republican boss, was known as the easy boss. He was a U.S. senator named Tom Platt. And the easy boss looked at Roosevelt, and he knew his reputation as being a reformer who basically just steamrolled any opposition when he was in the legislature years before. And he wasn't so thrilled. And Roosevelt did something that was politically ingenious. He
he began making plans to allow a tiny independent party to nominate him. Now, he knew he could never win running as an independent in a two-party state, but the fact that he might be on the ballot and siphon away Republican votes, in any event, the Republicans eventually decided he had to be the candidate, and they got rid of the incumbent Governor Frank S. Black. It was going to be a tough year for Republicans. But Roosevelt was a natural at campaigning. He didn't wear his uniform when he campaigned, but he wore sort of a floppy hat that looked like his Rough Rider hat, and he was surrounded by Rough Riders in uniform. They loved Colonel Roosevelt, and they traveled with him everywhere. And every single rally all across the state of New York began the same way. Bugle call with the Rough Riders up there on stage saluting, and then when Colonel Roosevelt bounded on stage, and he didn't just come onto stage, he always bounded on stage. He was a jumpy guy. The rallies were like what no one had ever seen before, and he spoke largely about foreign policy and military policy, even though his job as governor wouldn't involve too much of that. But one Republican leader who watched his campaign said, "The speech was nothing, but the man's presence was everything. It was electrical, magnetic. I looked in the faces of hundreds and saw only pleasure and satisfaction." He was a political natural. And the truth of the matter is, it was a close campaign. He only won the governorship, this is in 1898, by about 17,000 votes in a big state. But here he was, elected governor, moving into the governor's mansion, and proceeding to a program of reform that people truly did not believe to be possible. This is an amazing thing. In his first year as governor, the Republican legislature, he got them to pass 1,000 bills, which he signed, some of them very substantial reforms. And so naturally, of course, from the moment he set foot back in the United States and then he was elected as governor, people were talking about higher office. But President McKinley was a popular incumbent, so he wasn't going to run against him for president in 1900. But who knows, maybe in 1904. But then fate intervened with a double whammy of surprises that changed the course of the life of Theodore Roosevelt, all-American boy. This special broadcast on the Michael Medved Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Michael Medved History Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy. If you'd like a copy of this program, visit MedvedHistoryStore.com. That's MedvedHistoryStore.com. There you can find MP3 audio downloads, or you can order CDs. We have lots of programs on offer about the American Revolution, the Constitution, profiles of Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, shows about taxation, the worst presidents in American history. It's all at MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Theodore Roosevelt is a name that almost every American knows, and certainly should know, but his fate was determined by another name that almost nobody knows. Do you know the historical figure Gus Hobart? No, I didn't think so. His real name was Garrett Augustus Hobart, universally known as Gus, a very likable and prosperous lawyer from New Jersey. Don't hold that against him. He had served in the New Jersey legislature for a while and was a surprise pick for vice president in McKinley's first term. He had almost identical views to President McKinley. He's actually a very useful vice president. But just as nobody knows who he is today, when he was elected vice president in 1896, nobody knew who he was. People didn't pay much attention to him. And then at age 55, he dropped dead. Heart disease. Four children at home. Young man. And President McKinley, this is November 1899, was just about to fight for re-election. And almost immediately, when Vice President Hobart died, suddenly, unexpectedly, the attention of Republicans everywhere was, we need Roosevelt, Governor Roosevelt, this wildly popular, very young governor of New York State. Problem was, Roosevelt hated the idea of being vice president. He wrote to his friend, Henry Cabot Lodge, I'm a comparatively young man and I like to work. I do not like to be a figurehead. It would not entertain me to be vice president, to preside in the Senate. I couldn't do anything. And again, for a man of action, to be vice president, it wasn't something he wanted. He wanted to run again for governor when he surely would have been able to do so. And he wrote back and let people know if the administration wanted to give him a job, he'd be willing to be Secretary of War. That sounded pretty cool because then he would be in charge of a whole army. But that wasn't in the offing. And one of the reasons that there was a big drive for him to get added to the ticket as vice president was because the easy boss, his associate, Senator Platt, had a desire, as he put it, to kick him upstairs. I mean, Theodore Roosevelt was an opinionated, strong, and overwhelmingly popular governor. And what happened with this was that the convention proceeded, and there was almost an unstoppable and undeniable push, virtually unanimously by the convention that was meeting in Philadelphia in 1900, to put Roosevelt on the ticket as vice president.
We'll be right back here on the Michael Medved Show. You're listening to a special history program, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends, Nick Grovich and Company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
You're listening to the Michael Medved History Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy.
There was almost an unstoppable and undeniable push, virtually unanimously by the convention that was meeting in Philadelphia in 1900, to put Roosevelt on the ticket as vice president. Boss Platt said that Roosevelt might as well stand under Niagara Falls and try to spit water back as to stop his nomination. Well, he still wanted to stop it. There was a top-level meeting between Boss Platt and Governor Roosevelt in Philadelphia right before the delegates voted on the vice presidency, and Roosevelt said, I do not want it. He wanted another term as governor. And Platt said, I swear, if you turn this down, I will oppose you as governor. You will not run again as governor. So Roosevelt basically said, all right. And he realized that he was a young man, he wasn't even 42 yet, that this was just something that he had to do for his party, and then presumably McKinley would retire in 1904, and who knows? I mean, part of what he was thinking about was this. Up to this time, vice presidents hadn't done particularly well in American history. And in fact, there were four vice presidents who had taken over when a president died, and they'd all been disasters. John Tyler, who took over for William Henry Harrison, and then Millard Fillmore, who took over for Zachary Taylor, and Andrew Johnson, who took over for Lincoln, and then Chester A. Arthur, who took over for Garfield. Now, none of these guys ever got a term on their own, and none of these guys are remembered in the grandiose terms that Roosevelt wanted for himself. He took the nomination, and he campaigned ferociously. In fact, Finley Peter Dunne, who had this fictional character, Mr. Dooley, who was a sort of a dialect Irishman who was very, very popular, he said, Teddy ain't running, he's galloping. And he was galloping all over the country, and his rallies were jammed. And McKinley ended up winning the race by a lot. He liked Theodore Roosevelt anyway. As a matter of fact, Roosevelt recalled that President McKinley used to visit the Navy Department fairly regularly, and he would see him there when he was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, and he would say, oh, Mr. Roosevelt, have you gotten us into another war recently? And because one of the great interests that Teddy had back then was going to war to seize Canada. He wanted to annex Hawaii. That ultimately was done. He was very much a U.S. expansionist. But now all of a sudden he is vice president. And it was sort of a difficult job for him to figure out exactly what to do. He spent a lot of time with his family. He was not particularly included as an advisor to President McKinley. McKinley's great friend and political guru, Mark Hanna, a senator from Ohio. Mark Hanna was very wary of Roosevelt. He didn't think that he had the temperament to be a successful president. Certainly not the calming temperament of a William McKinley. And then in September of 1901, during his very first few months as vice president, he had been vice president because the president took over in March then, for about 6 months, President McKinley went up to Buffalo to preside over a World's Fair. And what happened at that World's Fair made Theodore Roosevelt president of the United States. We will get to that and more in this story of Theodore Roosevelt, the all-American boy. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com. Only rarely does a new film come along to remind movie lovers of Hollywood's golden age some 80 years ago. Greyhound, starring Tom Hanks, is that sort of old-fashioned thriller. Notably enriched by state-of-the-art special effects and riveting action sequences showing World War II's Battle of the Atlantic. Hanks, who also wrote the screenplay, portrays a destroyer captain given his first command, leading a crucial Anglo-American convoy across the ocean, but facing destruction by wolf packs of German submarines. Based on a 1955 novel by C.S. Forrester, who also wrote the beloved Horatio Hornblower series, this film gives loving attention to the hero's profound Christian faith. Hanks shows the overburdened commander at prayer on multiple occasions while portraying the emotional bonds between men of every background facing danger together. As with Saving Private Ryan, where Hanks also starred, or the great John Adams miniseries, which he produced, Greyhound enriches our culture with an inspiring story of American heroism. I'm Michael Medved. On the Michael Medved Show special broadcast, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy, it was a coincidence that both the president and the vice president in September of 1901, the very beginning of the month, were in upstate New York at the same time. President McKinley went up to the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York, which was quite an impressive World's Fair with some of the very most impressive up to that time demonstrations of electricity. And Theodore Roosevelt, the vice president, was making a speech in upstate, and then he was going to join his family at a cabin in the Adirondack Mountains. And President McKinley was in a receiving line in the middle of the World's Fair and shaking hands, and a stranger came up to shake his hand, pulled a gun out of his belt, held it against the president's stomach, and fired. McKinley went down. He was grievously wounded, but he was expected to live. President Roosevelt, who was nearby in upstate New York, rushed over to his bedside, and it's very clear from his letters that whatever his ambitions, he prayed for and hoped for the president's speedy recovery. And indeed, by September 10th, a few days after the shooting, the president had taken a turn for the better. He was talking and functioning, and he was expected to recover. And Roosevelt went on to join his family in the Adirondack Mountains on Mount Tahannis. And he did that partially to reassure the country that McKinley would be fine. But then a messenger reached him, and there was no telegraph. The messenger had to go up the slopes of the mountain, find Vice President Roosevelt. President McKinley had taken a turn for the worse. And as he was rushing back down the mountain and to a train station that day, the president died. And at age 42, America had its youngest president ever. And yes, still younger than John Kennedy was when he was elected, or Barack Obama when he was elected. Theodore Roosevelt was our youngest president ever. As Mark Hanna put it, after his great friend had died, now that damned cowboy is president. What that meant for the country, just going into a brand new century, this is September of 1901, remember, was amazingly consequential, particularly in terms of America's emergence as the dominant world power, militarily, diplomatically, economically, and yes, culturally. because no one in the world had seen anything quite like that force of nature that was Theodore Roosevelt. So what characterized his 7.5 years as President of the United States, and then the unbelievably dramatic and eventful decade that followed his presidency? We will get to that and much more, because his legacy continues to be an amazing and fascinating and, yes, glorious part of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
You're listening to the Michael Medved History Show, Theodore Roosevelt, the All-American Boy. If you'd like a copy of this program, visit MedvedHistoryStore.com. That's MedvedHistoryStore.com. There you can find MP3 audio downloads, or you can order CDs. It's all at MedvedHistoryStore.com.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. With names changing on public buildings and statues coming down almost everywhere, the cancel culture now also wants to remake our money. A full page in the New York Times proposed new faces for our coins and bills, emphasizing diversity and artistic achievement, not political leadership. They wanted Marsha P. Johnson, a self-described black drag queen and activist, for the $10 bill, with Wilma Mankiller, first female chief of the Cherokee Nation, for the $5 bill. More than 50 other historical figures also received consideration, with white males mentioned only if they were gay or leftist radicals. This meant no Mark Twain, no Frank Lloyd Wright, no Frank Capra, no George Gershwin, and so forth. In fact, reviewing the Times list reveals an inconvenient truth. In the arts, as in government, the American tradition has been shaped most importantly, though hardly exclusively, by males of European ancestry. Pretending otherwise counts as both ignorant and dishonest. I'm Michael Medved.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.